We'll do it live.
Okay.
Well, no. We'll do it live!
Please remain silent while I am speaking. We have a lot to get through.
Put that cigarette out.
You know that I'm the cream of the crop.
Oh, my God. He's gonna puke!
He's fat!
You three guys want a war tonight? You got one!
To be the man, you gotta beat the man! And I'm saying, woo, right here!
Good evening, Mega Maniacs. It is Monday, January 27th. We just finished watching this evening's edition of Monday Night Raw, and it is time for the Mega Powers Radio Monday Night Raw post show, as it is every week. Guys, we know morale is really low all over the place. We're going to try to get through this one, though. We don't want to be all negative. There's a lot of things we can definitely be positive about, especially from tonight's Raw, and I think we could even find some nuggets to appreciate last night. So we are going to open up the phone lines to everyone, as we usually do, and we encourage all feedback, as we normally do. So if you feel like you got to get something off your chest, please open up to us. We'll be happy to give you the platform to do it. But for now, let's get started with us here. I'll be your host for the evening, Mike Payton, with me. First off, the host of Smark Out Moments Smack Talk Podcast, Tony Mango. How you doing, Tony?
Hey, everybody. Not so well after last night.
see, we're already getting down on this. Also with us, the host of Addicted to Anime here on Mega Powers Radio and the Unanimous Decision MMA Show, Mr. Steven Hojuego.
Hey, man. How's it going? Wow,
God, come on, guys. Be a little bit excited here. Drew White is in his house.
That is what's up. How you doing, Micah Payton?
All right, there we go. Now we got a little bit of excitement. Yeah.
Happy negative Nancy,
awesome
man.
Piano man in the chat room. Good to have you back, dude. Shouting out the Bautista. Yes, if you were following the Monday Night Raw post-show Facebook page, I got inspired to make a couple memes after last night's events, and one of them included the, are you saying Boo or Bautista?
I was saying Bautista.
Oh my goodness. So we should start talking about some things. But first off, I did promise I would bring someone on extra early to the show tonight, so I am gonna get him in here. Our good friend from Pittsburgh, Mr. JD, who was in attendance at last night's Royal Rumble pay-per-view. Mr. JD, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you, guys. Happy Monday to you all. And yes, I am glad to be here. And let me tell you what, it was a very crazy, wild night last night at Console Energy Center. Let me tell you what, I mean, it was like a rock concert turned bad.
You know what? There's very few unique atmospheres that have happened throughout the history of wrestling. The Montreal incident, of course, had a unique crowd to it. The Allstate Center for Money in the Bank when CM Punk won the title last night, I think, is going to be held up there in high regard. I rewatched it today with some of my friends who are only casual fans, and they were just astonished at the sea of boos for poor Rey Mysterio, who's not a guy that I feel sympathetic for very often, but I did a little bit that last night. It was not his fault, but man, did he get booed out of the building.
Well, it wasn't Ray's fault. I mean, I'm gonna start it out by saying it was definitely not Ray's fault. I mean, they were booing everything all last night. Ben Roethlisberger, I mean, Batista winning, apparently he flipped off a fan, we understand, and the management was not very happy about that. I mean, they were booing the whole night long. I mean, it was a very ugly scene. Tonight was a little bit better, though, but last night, I mean, being there, I mean, I swear to God, it was just like a shitstorm hit the fan. And as soon as people left the console, they were on their phones, Twitter, and Facebook, and Instagram, and pin wrestling. I mean, they said, this is a bullshit show. And, I mean, the Randy Orton Cena match alone, they were doing the wave, and they were yelling different things during the match. I mean, it was an ugly, ugly match. I mean, the only match that was good was the first match of the night, obviously. And the rest of the show, it was like...
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because I did say at the beginning, I want to try to be more positive about this. And I think the crowd was very... hot the entire night, starting with the pre-show match, where they really gave an excellent welcome to the New Age Outlaws coming back on the scene and winning the titles.
Yeah, and they've always been really receptive in Pittsburgh. I mean, the fans always like the Outlaws, and they gave them a pretty good pop last night, no question. And tonight, obviously, in Cleveland, we saw what happened on Raw. We'll get into that, obviously. But it's going to be interesting to see how long they're going to be tag champs, because right now, I mean, the tag division is so jammed up right now. I mean, you can't tell from one week to the next, who's going to be the tag champs, you know?
I guess at this point you don't know who's going to be contending for him because you don't know who their flavor of the week is going
right,
to be.
That's what I'm saying. Exactly.
Well, how do you feel overall about the pay-per-view last night, though? I mean, there's a lot of conflicting opinions. You know, a lot of people are, of course, very upset about the turnout for Daniel Bryan.
I'm one
but...
of the negative minority. I mean, I got to say, I mean, Roman Reigns to me last night,
beast.
I mean, if there was an MVP that was the MVP, it is Roman Reigns. Last night, I mean, they said it tonight on Raw. I mean, he set a new record, breaking Kane's own mark of 12. However, I mean... Bautista, I mean, if you want to call it, I mean, it was just, they could have saved this for the right time if they were smart. Instead, they figured, okay, let's push it a week early and get that big rating we need. I mean, last night, I mean, I'll tell you, I was with the fans last night. I have never been more appalled and disgusted at a show than I was last night. It was, I mean, it was sold out, don't get me wrong, and I was there. But the crowd, I mean, themselves just were absolutely disgusted, and you saw what Mick Foley said on Facebook and Twitter today, and a lot of people are still giving their feedback about it. It was a very ugly scene, and I mean, I'll tell you what, they better put on a better show next time they come here, and obviously they're coming here in June with SmackDown, but I'll tell you what, though, they got to be totally embarrassed with the show they put on last night. It was just appalling.
Yeah. It was one of the few pay-per-views that I take the liberty of paying the full value price for. I always order the Royal Rumble because I almost always feel like I'm going to be guaranteed a good show, and I'm not happy about it. And I have to say, this impacts my decision about first day sign up for the WWE Network. And I'm not saying I'm automatically boycotting. I'm not going to be one of those overdramatic people. But if this is what the scene is going to be looking like for 2014, I don't know how eager I am to be signing up automatically on board for it.
And they got one more pay-per-view to deal with the Elimination Chamber. We saw a pretty good main event tonight, which we'll obviously all talk about during the show tonight. And like I said, it was a pretty good show tonight. But like I said, after that, you got 5 weeks to build up for WrestleMania. You better have some good plans set in stone right now. Because I'll tell you right now, if they don't have anything past WrestleMania, what they're going to do, they're in deep trouble. Big trouble.
Well, I think they'll find a way to make it work, as they always do. In time, people forget about being upset about things like this. If Daniel Bryan continues to not get his fair share, though, I don't know if they will be able to continue with the favors that they're getting at this point.
Exactly. Agreed. 100%. Yep.
All right, JD, I'm going to hold you on for a little bit, but I do want to bring on another caller that we got in the line here, if you don't mind.
No problem. Right. Take your time. I'm glad I'm just going to listen to you guys. I'll be ready to voice my opinion when you guys
All right, then. So we're going to bring on a caller we got from the 815 area code. Caller from 815, thanks for calling to the Mega Powers Radio Raw Post Show. What's your name and where are you calling from?
This is Greg. You can call me Butters. Everyone else does. And I'm from Belvedere, Illinois.
Butters, thanks for calling in, man. What's on your mind?
It was an okay Raw. I was kind of disappointed Lesnar didn't get to wrestle. But I don't know. I was just playing with Lesnar last night on Rumble. Anyway.
Oh, it was a nice little taste of what Brock Lesnar has inside him. I think it was perfectly set up. I think beating Big Show down with the chair went a little bit long. But tonight, Brock Lesnar coming out of nowhere and interrupting that tag match. I was absolutely not expecting that. And I was just blown away. Like, holy crap, this guy means business. Someone better answer his demands soon or there's going to be consequences.
Mm-hmm. It is definitely interesting.
Absolutely. So what did you think about last night's Royal Rumble's results?
You know, at first, like, the Bryan-Wyatt match, it was an awesome match, but then it just went downhill from there. I mean, it just started to just be horrifyingly bad. It was terrible.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys talked about this, but like Mick Foley went on Twitter and said, "I've never been so appalled by a pay-per-view."
Oh, there's a lot of people that took to Twitter. Twitter was absolutely ablaze. Yes, movement becoming a huge hashtag trending. Of course, they probably wouldn't tell you too many proud tweets that they got out of that one. But people are absolutely upset. And you have this counter movement of people saying, "Oh, you butthurt entitled Daniel Bryan fans." Listen, that entire arena made it very obvious what they wanted. And I think it was an extremely big missed opportunity.
They were hostile towards Ring of Honor when it came out at number 30. And then, like, when it was, like, that was it. They just booed everybody. And then when it was Reigns and Batista left, they just gave in and said, okay, let's just cheer for Reigns. He's the only one we like in this between the two.
All right, Butters, I want to bring it back to Monday Night Raw here, just for a little bit. What was your high point for tonight's Monday Night Raw, and what was your low point for tonight's Raw?
Low point was the Divas match, of course. High point was the main event. It was actually, of course, it's Shield and Bryan and everybody else. Of course, it's going to be good.
Yeah, indeed. All right, Butters, we got another caller coming on here, so we're going to get them on. We thank you for calling in, man, though. Have a great night.
You too. Goodbye.
All right. And as I said, we got another caller coming on here, so let's get him on here. Caller from 817, you are live on the Mega Powers Radio Raw Post Show. What's your name and where you're calling from?
This is Brian the Brain.
Oh, Brian the Brain. Welcome to the show, bro.
Yeah.
So what's on your mind, man?
Too much to talk about. Too much to talk about and not enough
True
time.
That. So go off, man. What's the first thing you want to rant about here? Because between last night and tonight, I'm sure people got a lot on their minds.
Actually, as much of a Daniel Bryan fan as I am, I hate to say it, but WWE warned us ahead of time that Batista was going to win. Come on, you don't promo the man for a month with the Royal Rumble and then not have him win. It just, that's what they do. I mean, I was right there booing along with the fans. I wanted Daniel Bryan in there. I picked Daniel Bryan to win the Royal Rumble. And the only thing that was good about it was Sheamus out there and Roman Reigns doing what Roman Reigns does best, spearing and chucking people out of the freaking ring. And it was like, oh! What disappointed me was JBL taking a spot. El Torito taking a spot. I don't mind Kevin Nash, but when you got JBL walking in there in a suit and tie, it makes no sense. You got El Torito going in there and eliminating Fandango.
Oh, that was hilarious.
I mean,
that was awesome.
But we don't need the hilarity. We need truth. We need people that can actually win.
Oh, I disagree. There's Rumble always a place in the Royal Rumble for a fun little comedy spot like that. Always a place.
El Torito was my dark horse, yeah. Actually.
Continue, Brian.
The thing is, I don't mind if it's Santino with a comedy spot, but El Torito or Hornswoggle, that just to me it's getting a little old. It's like, we should just have the people with the ability to actually hold a title in the Rumble. Kevin Nash, I didn't mind because he's a big man. He can go with the best of them. Actually, that the Russian guy from NXT, I didn't mind him either because he was big and bad. And actually, I want to see him versus Jack Swagger in future, and also Antonio Cesaro versus Sheamus in a match in the future, because I think that would be, I mean, you look at those guys and they were just like, wow, this is going to be good down the road. Other than that, I mean, I wasn't disappointed with the pay-per-view overall, just the Royal Rumble match itself.
Yeah, but I want to be positive about some things. What are some things you actually liked throughout the show? I mean, did you enjoy the New Age Outlaws becoming 6-time champions? Yeah, and no one else has mentioned this so far, yeah, but Daniel Bryan and Bray Wyatt put on a hell of a match.
Yeah, everybody. I already said
that. Sorry.
That first match was awesome. It was awesome. It went forever. We didn't really know who was going to win. I like Bray Wyatt. I mean, Bray Wyatt looked really good in that match. And he looks like he can definitely be a top performer for the WWE going into the future. He's got legacy. He's got, you know, he definitely has a look about him. He might not be muscle bound or anything else, but he can move for a big man. And people just like overlook that because they don't see the rippling muscles of John Cena. They don't see the oversizedness of like a Big Show, but man, in the old days, they didn't have to have all that. They just had to be able to wrestle. These guys can wrestle. They're the future of the sport. Dana Brown's the future of the sport. Bray Wyatt's the future of the sport. Let these guys shine. for the next 10, 15 years.
So Brian, let me ask you, who would you have won the Royal Rumble? Daniel Bryan.
I mean,
who would you have won that was actually in the Rumble?
Sheamus or CM Punk.
Oh. Now explain really those two.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, CM Punk was number one, and it would have been awesome to see someone go again from the number one spot to win it all. Of course, you know, it would have been kind of awesome even for Roman Reigns, because he eliminated so many people, you know. But then again, here we go. We give it to Batista, who's been gone for 4 years. You give it to a guy that, yeah, I understand you're paying him big money to come back, but to go ahead and put the belt on Brock Lesnar because you're paying him big money, it just makes the anti-wrestling fan and the established fan go, what the hell are WWE thinking? I get it. You pay these people a lot of money. You need to make people watch. Well, people are going to watch Batista versus Brock Lesnar, even if they're a mid-card match, even if they're a lower-card match, because people want to see that. Maybe not me, but people want to see it. So it doesn't make any sense to book them in title matches. Right, yeah. Let them come back. Let them shine mid-card, upper-card level. Show people that they can still wrestle. Brock Lesnar does not wrestle every week. Batista does not wrestle every week. It's time we give it to the people that wrestle every week. Bryan, CM Punk, Bray Wyatt, Roman Reigns. Those guys wrestle every week. Dolph Ziggler wrestles every week.
When he's not injured. Sorry. when he's not injured. Sorry, I couldn't help myself.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it's like even Big E Langston could have had a bigger impact on last night's Royal Rumble. And I don't know if WWE always thinks about the future. They're always concerned with the past. Don't get me wrong. Past is great. Jake St. Roberts, Ultimate Warrior. You know, all that stuff's great, but, you know, it's time we stop thinking about 1980 to 1999. So we start thinking about year 2000 and the year 2025, you know. And tonight didn't make me mad at all. Tonight was a great, great Monday Night Raw. The crowd was great. The only thing was no CM Punk on the Raw. I mean, the Raw after.
I think CM Punk deserved a night off.
And, yeah, okay, CM Punk got beat up by Kane. Okay, yeah, whatever. The thing is it was in Cleveland, Ohio, and who really cares about Cleveland, Ohio, but Cleveland, Ohio.
Indeed.
Sorry, I mean, I love Danielle's jabs in Cleveland. That was pretty much funny, and, you know, it was good to see Dolph Ziggler and Miz out there working, and they had an okay match. Was it just me, or was Oksana actually looking
good? They altered her outfit a bit, and I think it's the best that she has ever looked. They actually are showing off her legs and her figure a little bit more. And I've always said, I bet Oksana is much more attractive than we're being led to believe, because she always had that horrible full body suit. It just really was not working for her. And now, yeah, she looks a little bit better. And you know what? She's got a couple wins under her belt over the past couple months. So, hey, she has a little bit more shine to her.
Yeah, I actually like Oksana. I know she comes from a wrestling background, as far as, like, she wrestled in high school or college or something like that. You know, she's actually gone into, like, she used to, you know, be in the independent, you know, and grew up around wrestling. So I can actually see where they can actually use her in more of a Nadia role or, you know, more wrestling, but not that I was watching the Divas match, because they're just boring, but it's like, the one thing that I noticed was she was looking good, and I was like, is it just me, or, you know, or am I going crazy here, because everything else, and so, blah, you know.
All right, Brian, I want to wrap it up for you here with the high point, low point. So what was it for you for tonight's show?
High point was the main event. I always love when the Wyatts come, and now the Wyatt versus Shield should be interesting to see how they progress that. Low point was the starting of Raw. Do we really need Triple H and Stephanie McMahon coming out there?
No.
You know, other than that. Good Raw.
All right. Thanks for calling in, Brian. You know you're always welcome here. Have a good night, dude.
You too.
All right, lots of great callers so far. We want to remind everyone, you are always welcome to call in. Area code 760-512-7247. That's area code 760-512-7247. You could also dial in using Skype by pressing the little Skype icon on the broadcast page. We also have a very active chat room tonight, so definitely check in there. And you can type stuff, and we'll also respond to any questions or comments you want to put through there. All right, so we can return to our panel here. We also got guest JD on the line with us this evening. Let's start talking about what actually went down on Raw tonight. A lot of people, of course, want to talk about Royal Rumble. And of course, we'll always welcome you guys here to talk about that. Biggest news that I think we got accomplished on tonight's Raw is we finally solidified, well, I shouldn't say finally, we are on the road officially to Elimination Chamber. WWE is wasting no time getting past the events of Royal Rumble, and they are already starting to build a picture for their next pay-per-view. We know that the WWE World Heavyweight title held by Randy Orton will be defended inside the chamber, and we had a six-man tag to determine who three entrants of that match was. On one side, all three members of the Shield. On the other, Daniel Bryan, John Cena, and the man who returned in last night's Royal Rumble, Sheamus. This was first announced at the beginning of the show and kept building on through it all through the night. One other person who has expressed his concerns of being in there is Brock Lesnar. We'll talk a little bit more about him later. But determining these three guys, we went into that match, had an absolutely fantastic match, as you expect of any other Shield six-man tag. And in the end, the Wyatt family chose once again to interfere, as they did as last night's Royal Rumble pay-per-view during John Cena's match. However, this time it backfired. John Cena's team gets disqualified, allowing John Cena, Sheamus, and Daniel Bryan to enter into the Elimination Chamber match. Guys, open it up to you. Let's talk about what you think about these three men being chosen to go in there, and just the events in general about the match and all those kind of things. Tony, why don't you lead us off?
All right, well, I'm going to try my hardest not to be too negative on everything. Now, that's not to say there aren't positives with all this kind of situation and stuff. There's positives from the Royal Rumble and positives from tonight's Raw. But the one thing I have to preface whatever we're going to talk about tonight with is the way that that Royal Rumble ended last night left me in a sour enough mood that I have virtually no enthusiasm right now for WrestleMania. And tonight's Raw was one of those things where I went in tonight hoping that there would be some kind of a huge change up, and they didn't do it. So the whole night was soured for me on top of that. And by the time we got to this main event, I didn't care. I didn't actually watch any of the match. I had it on in the background, so, you know, I kind of was like paying half attention, half not, whatever. I could not tell you whatsoever if it was a good match or a bad one. I knew the outcome had to be something where John Cena's team won. And for the participants, it makes sense that Cena's in there. Totally agree with that decision. Daniel Bryan, it makes sense. But then again, that you could do the whole argument of should he have been in that in the first place and all that. We're not going to get into that. Sheamus, though, I've not been shy of saying in the past that Sheamus and Alberto Del Rio are two of the most overrated people in WWE right now that I don't find interesting. And I was so glad when we had all that time away from Sheamus. If he would have came back as a heel, maybe I would have been more interested. Babyface Sheamus, I still could not give a crap. And I think that is CM Punk's spot. So downgrade for that.
All right. Steven Juego, you were one of the few people here who was rather positive about Royal Rumble's event. So how do you feel now continuing forward going into Elimination Chamber?
As you said, I didn't mind the Royal Rumble. I felt one match ending should not ruin a whole pay-per-view. What, besides the title match, was pretty damn good. As far as tonight's events go, I just couldn't give a fuck. It was just one of those really meh shows. I wasn't hyped coming off the Royal Rumble, and I wasn't hyped going into the show. The main event was solid, as all Shield matches are. And the Bray Wyatt interference is intriguing, but it's nothing major that's getting me excited to tune in next week. As far as how they're going to play out in the Elimination Chamber, I'm not pumped for that either, just because the chamber's been oversaturated year in and year out that I don't care about that anymore either. So I'm trying to get pumped for Mania, but I couldn't give a crap about the Elimination Chamber.
Oh, no. Drew, how about you, man?
About the match?
Well, about the match and the picture that's being painted for the Elimination Chamber.
All right. Well, I thought it was a good match. I didn't really like the Wyatt interference because I don't know. It just felt weird how it happened. And it makes me believe that maybe next week they'll have a rematch of some sort.
It's a cheesy way to end the match.
It's a cheesy way to end it. And I don't think they shouldn't have done this to end Raw because it was just a weird picture because at the end it had the Wyatts were still on like the. Not the, what is it called? The main stage, the entrance stage, and then the Shield was like on the announce tables. I was just a little surprised that they didn't like just like start beating up the three people that they just lost to. I just like that to me, that picture was weird. I don't know what they're doing going forward to Elimination Chamber, but unlike Mango, who hates Sheamus and Del Rio. I'm so on Del Rio, but I've actually liked Sheamus to an extent during the time since he lost the heavyweight, the World Heavyweight Championship, so it didn't really bother me. I think he's a big enough player that he should be in the maybe like a multiple man title picture, but he shouldn't be like the only one, so I'm fine with that right now. But I might have missed it, but did they announce who else was in the Elimination Chamber?
Not yet.
Match.
We can assume Brock Lesnar will eventually find his way in there.
Yeah.
But at this point, it's just those three and Randy Orton.
All right. So, you know, there's still one spot left. You know, there's a chance that a Punk might make it in there. Or maybe even a Shield member if they, like, you know, if they decide to dissolve and just become defunct, you know, sooner than we expect. But overall, the match was good. I just didn't. The ending just was so-so.
You know, while you were just talking there, I came up with my neurons connected. This reminds me of a feeling that a lot of people were having late last year after the Battleground pay-per-view, after we had already seen Daniel Bryan get screwed through SummerSlam and the whole Night of Champions debacle with the titles, and after just the screwy finish at Battleground, people were just getting tired of being denied what they wanted. And I'm seeing this again now, and I'm wondering, neurons connected. Yes, awesome, Piano Man, thank you. I'm seeing the same attitude now where people are getting fed up, and I hope it's not too late for some people, because you know what? We're all wrestling fans, and I think it's really over dramatic when people are like, I'm not watching again, I'm done, blah, 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 blah. You're going to watch again.
Yeah.
Get over it. Like, that's why I don't even take a night off. It's like, well, let me see what they're going to do now. Like, you could always have a stinker and then have a good show the night after. Mm-hmm. And you could always atone for your sins in the wrestling world. It's okay.
Yeah, like I went on a rampage last night on the Mega Maniacs group on Facebook. But you know, I wasn't like really upset with the Rumble. The Rumble was fine. I really enjoyed it. Everyone shits on the championship, the WWE Heavyweight Championship. I still hate that name. The WWE Championship match. They were shitting on it, but I thought it was just funny. Just the crowd.
Oh, the crowd.
Randy
made it
Orton
worth it.
Made it. Yeah, the crowd made it worth it. And you know, I don't know why I was marking out for the Cena doing the RKO and
before we go too deep into Royal Rumble review, yeah. JD, how are you feeling about the six-man tag that we had this evening and the picture that's building for the next Elimination Chamber pay-per-view?
It was a good main event, you're right, and at the same time, however, it leads the door open to wonder what's going to happen with the Shield and the Wyatt. So, I mean, it did leave a little bit of a bad taste in everyone's mouth tonight, as everyone's been saying, however, and that leads me to wonder where they're going from here, however. But like you said, as far as the Shield goes, however, that leads to question, which one is the Shield going to finally start splitting up? And we've been hearing for weeks and months now that this is going to happen eventually. Is it going to happen before Mania or at Mania? We really don't know. And as far as Sheamus goes, you guys didn't mention, though, there has been talk, though, Sheamus might be going heel again and feuding with Daniel Bryan. So I could see something happening at the Elimination Chamber where you're going to see the Sheamus-Daniel Bryan sort of friendship, if you will, that they played tonight, how are going to start to break up. But like I said, however, I'm just wondering how or who they're going to fit in the Elimination Chamber. I mean, we already know we got three in already. Like you said, Brock Lesnar could be number four, however, especially if he, with the way his ego is, however, and the way he's got that big contract. I mean, a Shield member could be five, and then Punk could be number six. So you could fill three more spots right there. Again, like I said, however, it remains to be seen what's going to happen this week on SmackDown, and if they're going to acknowledge that feud, however, between the Shield and the Wyatt family. They're going to save for maybe down the road sometime, but I can see a matchup possibly this week, however, with those six guys going at it against each other, possibly.
I guess it still remains to be seen what our full WrestleMania plans are. We're only yet getting the tip of the iceberg of what our Elimination Chamber plans are, so we can't just jump to any conclusions just yet. It's not unlike them to suddenly change plans 2 weeks before WrestleMania with something.
Well, the one thing...
Go ahead, JD. I'll let you finish your idea.
Tell you real quick, though. The one thing I did hear, though, last real quick before we get into it, there has been rumors, and I don't know if you guys probably all heard the same thing, all of you guys in the panel. I mean, there was talk last night at the paper when I was there, how there was talk that might be, if not Daniel Bryan, Sheamus, there could be Daniel Bryan, John Cena, and possibly Hulk Hogan versus the Wyatt family.
Oh, gosh, no. Please, no.
And I'm saying, dear God, no.
Please, no.
I hope it doesn't happen.
And Sting will return in the match.
I hope not either, but there is talk. Hogan's on his way back
RoboCop.
In. He could debut after the Chamber. Yeah.
Honestly, Mania's going to suck. Just throw that in there. Who
they
cares?
Really should do some cross-promotion with the new RoboCop movie that's coming out. If they have Sting, let's just recreate that moment. It'll be fantastic.
Sure.
Why not? Whatever. Awesome Piano Man wanted me to shoot a poll out there. Who really wanted to see Orton versus Cena rematch last night? I'm just going to go ahead and assume that most people's answer is nobody, but if anyone genuinely wanted to see that, speak up now.
I wanted to see it because I was hoping Cena would win the title. That was the only thing I was hoping for.
Not me. It was going to be the same old crap. I mean, they booed the crap out. Even they booed one of the Steeler players, Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, like I said, the crowd was an ugly crowd last night. I mean, like I said, I was there, guys, and I'll tell you, I've told our guy here already, I mean, this was the most ugliest crowd I've ever seen at a WWE pay-per-view ever, and this was nasty last night.
Well, I wanted to see it just for the sole reason that I'd rather have Cena in the main event at Mania than Randy Orton. For God's sake, I can't stand him now. So I would have much rather got Cena. That's the only reason why I wanted the rematch.
Tony, you had something you want to say?
I wanted to see more, like I said earlier,
hold on, JD.
Bryan, and I thought they put on a terrific
match. Hold on, JD. Tony, go ahead.
All right. Yeah, I wanted to see Cena Orton, and it's not for any of the reasons that I keep hearing a lot of other people. Like Drew was saying, he wanted to see Cena take the title. I didn't want him to take the title. I wanted Orton to retain. I wanted to see this match because not only was it the match that made the most amount of sense, you had a built-in rematch clause, you had two big superstars who are like that supposed to be the top of their game wrestling for the championship at the Royal Rumble. It's got that just amount of curiosity for fans to be like, well, maybe John Cena will win and that's going to change the whole thing up. I think structurally that made perfect sense. The problem with it, though, was they just didn't end up having a good match, and the fans let them know about it, and it's up to them to take those boring chants and go, fuck, all right, we need to do something else to make this not boring, and they met that with headlocks. So that ruined the match, but in theory, before going into this, this should have and could have been a really good match. So I was actually really pumped about this entire pay-per-view. And for the downsides, like the way that match turned out, everybody's opinions about the Royal Rumble match and all that, quality for different things still matched up. So it all is kind of 50-50 about this. Good ending for John Cena to lose the match, bad match. Good Royal Rumble match, bad ending. It's different sides of the argument.
Jay, do you want to follow that up?
No, he's right. Yeah, I agree with him. I mean, he's right in some ways, and I'm not going to say anything else. I mean, he's exactly right. It's a two-way street. You're right. There were some things last night that people liked, and there were some people things didn't like. But like I said earlier, I still think, and I think we're all going to agree here, that the best match of the night was the opener. And after that, it just went
The Brock Lesnar chair attack, I think, is what really just kind of popped that balloon, and it never fully recovered. Because that crowd, they were
exactly.
emotional all night. When they found something to be happy about, they were. They were happy with the New Age Outlaws. They were happy for Daniel Bryan, Bray Wyatt. Yep. I rewatched that match also today. There had to have been about seven This Is Awesome chants throughout that, not to mention a few other holy shit and other chants of people actually being invested in the match, as opposed to Randy Orton versus John Cena, where you were getting We Want Divas and them chanting the name of every single one of the announcers.
Right, and they were naming wrestlers too. And like I said, I was up in the second deck sitting up there, and there was more than seven. There was this awesome chance. It was at least 10 or 15. And like I said, yes, they popped for the Outlaws match, which was great. Yes, they popped for the Daniel Bryan Wyatt match. And like you said, I mean, right now I'd have to say early on, it is an early match of the year candidate. Because like you said, I mean, to see these guys go 20 minutes and just keep clicking. I mean, the moves, especially twice when he did the Sister Abigail outside and the lariat clothesline like a la Stan Hansen that Bray Wyatt did. I mean, I'd say, I mean, like I said, these two guys stole the show last night. They really stole the show last night.
Yeah, I really had my opinion changed of Bray Wyatt last night. I have constantly spoken about how much I hated that guy and hated his whole crew. And I was saying it's a shame that they got the coolest gimmick and package of any wrestler in like 10 years and that they were such piles of shit. But you know what? He made me eat my words last night. He had a fantastic match. And you know what? People will say, oh, it's because he was in there with Daniel Bryan. I disagree. Both of them busted their asses and I think put on a hell of a performance.
Oh, they did. And everyone, like I said, was yelling the yes the whole time. And even when Bray Wyatt came out with his theme music, they were clapping. They were clapping along to the tune. I mean, I was like, I'm scratching my head first. I'm thinking, what the F? I'm like, huh? And then all of a sudden it hit me. I'm like, holy crap, this crowd is actually into this. And then even then, Bray Wyatt, I'm thinking, what is going on here? But yeah, you're right. They definitely changed. I definitely had my tune changed like you. Going in last night, I was against Bray Wyatt a little bit at times. But last night, I think I changed my tune in more ways than one like you did as well.
All right, I want to pull it back to Raw a little bit here. Pull it back to actually the build towards Elimination Chamber. I want to introduce a name that we weren't talking about before, Brock Lesnar. Starting even a few weeks ago, Brock Lesnar was saying whoever was the champion coming out of Royal Rumble, he wanted a piece of them at Elimination Chamber. That was going to be his shot there. And of course, now that it's been announced that that title was going to be defended in the Elimination Chamber, Brock Lesnar demands a spot inside that chamber. So he comes out with Paul Heyman, and he demands that either he gets a match against Randy Orton tonight or he gets a match against Batista for his shot at WrestleMania. However, he never got an answer, and since he never got an answer, he decided to come out, and who was it he attacked? Was it the Usos? Someone help me.
No, the Rhodes Brothers.
The Rhodes Brothers.
The hell out of both of them. Goldie and Cody.
Yes, he did. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Poor Rhodes Brothers. I mean, they have gone through hell the last couple nights.
No, you talk about Hell Howard. This is a guy that's hell-bent on destroying anyone and anybody at the drop of a hat. I mean, this guy is obviously taking his penis juice again, and he's just totally on roids again, showing his roid rage here in more ways than one, and being with Heyman. It's just, he is hell-bent on destroying anybody and anything. And the thing is, though, yeah, he's got that contract that says, oh, I'm going to be here for a few years, but you know what? Here's an idea. Maybe management had to learn how to control his temper a little bit, because I heard in the backstage, he's a little bit of a wild man himself, and he's got to settle down when he's out there. I mean, he is just totally pumped up on, you can just tell he's got that roid rage temper when he comes out with the pulvers. It's just, it's scary to watch at times. It really is.
I think you need to research on how people do steroids.
Well, Steven, why don't you follow us up here? What's your opinion about Brock Lesnar's actions of this evening, and do you believe he deserves a spot inside the chamber?
Hell yeah, he's Brock Lesnar. If he wants a spot, he gets a spot. Yeah.
Simple answer.
Who's going to argue with him? Yeah, man, I'm all for it. I enjoyed the beatdown. I didn't want to see Cody Rhodes and Goldust lose clean again. So Brock Lesnar coming out and interrupting the match and looking like a beast, why the hell not?
Tony, how about you?
I don't know where this necessarily fits in their plans for the Rhodes brothers. I hope this isn't a situation where they're writing them off TV like what they did with Mark Henry and Big Show. But having them get interrupted and that's the end of the match and all that, I'm fine with that, especially because it makes Brock Lesnar look like more of an asshole, and that's just going to build him up more towards WrestleMania. But as long as this all works out in the end for the tag team division, the Rhodes brothers don't get screwed, and Brock Lesnar keeps getting pushed up, good job.
Absolutely. Drew, how about you, man?
The one thing I'm looking forward to Mania now is whoever Lesnar is going to face, because I think the build for that match is just going to be fantastic. And I think starting here is a good way to show that he will destroy anyone who gets in his way from what he wants. So, yes, I approve this match all the way and his interference.
And continuing the talk with the build towards Elimination Chamber, Zigster in the chat actually posts a very good question. What will Batista be doing at Elimination Chamber, if he's even wrestling at all? I mean, if he's really claiming he's here for a full-time schedule, you'd have to imagine he's wrestling at Elimination Chamber. Who would be the ideal opponent for him? Drew, why don't you start us off with that?
If Batista was going to face someone at Elimination Chamber?
Ooh, impressive.
Ooh, he wrestles alone.
Honestly, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they throw him in, maybe, like, he cashes in, you know, some people will cash in their championship match opportunity earlier than Mania. Maybe he'll do that, or maybe he'll defend it against someone, you know, kind of like what Rey Mysterio did back when he won it in 06. So if I had to choose someone he might wrestle with, that's...
Is Darth Vader here to give us his opinion?
Is that Brock Lesnar's opponent?
Is the Shockmaster here?
That was my phone. Am I apparently living in the world of Inception?
All right. You know, if I was going to put him anywhere, I would put him in the Elimination Chamber, because I don't know who I'd put him up against that would make sense right now.
That kind of threw me off my game there. Way to go.
Yeah, it threw me off
JD,
my game.
Who would you have Batista face at Elimination Chamber?
There's two names I'll throw out at you. One of them could be Del Rio in a squash, but you know what? I'm not going to go that way. I think I like to see him and CM Punk, maybe, possibly. If CM Punk can get on the stick and starting next week and start to badmouth him like he's badmouthed Kane in the past and the Authority, he could get into Batista's head saying, you're back because you basically are friends with Triple H and kissing his backside and you're his little puppet and everything like that. You could do something like that, I'm thinking. So I'm thinking Punk or Del Rio.
Tony?
I don't know. this is fucking tough, because if you book Brock Lesnar, then you either have Lesnar win when he gets the fucking title shot, or you have him win where it's not for a title shot and he just beats down Batista and Batista looks like shit going into WrestleMania, or you have Batista beat Brock Lesnar and he makes Brock Lesnar look like shit going into WrestleMania. Or you throw away it in a stupid match with Del Rio, and I do not want to see Del Rio get his ass kicked by Batista. Not because I'm a fan of Del Rio or anything like that, but you talk about being underwhelming and lacking enthusiasm for WrestleMania. How horrible would it be of a build for Elimination Chamber if that is one of the marquee matches? The big guy that we're supposed to buy into, that nobody's really getting behind going into WrestleMania, is going to have that little roadblock in the way, and it's going to be Del Rio? Fuck. I'm at a total loss. I have no idea what they could do. I think that they booked themselves in a huge corner.
Steven, how about you, man?
For Batista? Man, I don't know what you do. I just say throw Del Rio in there, because fuck Del Rio.
I'm actually going to be unanimous in that. Do the same thing that you did for Brock Lesnar. Just put him out with someone that he's just going to be able to look like a total badass, rip them apart, and leave the remains in the ring. I think that's the best you can do with Batista.
Honestly, it's something I just came across my mind. If Batista's not in the Elimination Chamber, why not he just face the Shield, and, you know, then the Wyatts could interfere in the match or something like that? Again.
Well, you know what's a big question going forward is, what is Batista going to be? Do they use this opportunity to make him a heel because people are already going to want to boo him so heavily? Or do they just continue trying to go the way that they seem to be and try to have him as a babyface against Randy Orton?
Recycle Evolution. Recycling stables is what keeps pro wrestling alive.
I'll tell you what they will do, as opposed to what they should do. They're going to keep him a babyface, and they're going to either panic and put Orton versus Batista lower on the card at WrestleMania because it wouldn't matter if people just boo the whole time, or they're going to just go to full stubborn mode and go, you know what? No, they're going to do what we tell them to do, and it's not going to work.
Well, if you put that lower in the card, what do you put in the main event then?
Undertaker.
Either Undertaker, Lesnar, or whoever ends up facing Triple H. If it's Daniel Bryan, especially Daniel Bryan versus Triple H, goes to last. If it's Punk, then I don't know. I wouldn't even be surprised if they panicked enough, and the way that they have been stubborn in the past, if they put something stupid like Bray Wyatt versus John Cena in the main event just to get the John Cena victory at the end or something. I don't think that they're going to be, as much as this is kind of like they've proven us right and wrong about this in the past, I don't think they're going to be stupid enough to have Batista go in as a babyface against Orton at WrestleMania, knowing that everybody's going to boo the whole time, and put it as the last match of the card.
Honestly, I'd be more surprised. I feel like they're kind of going towards that Punk-Kane match for some reason. Don't know why. But I do think that they might do that somewhere down the line if they don't do it at a...
I feel like that would be an Elimination Chamber match if they're not both going to be in it. I feel like that'll be a singles match for those two.
Right,
and then
enough,
Punk can go on to, I would assume, Triple H at WrestleMania.
Sure. Yes. See, senor.
That long-awaited Daniel Bryan CM Punk match for the title is not going to be happening.
WrestleMania 47.
Maybe. So we had a few other tag matches this night. This actually seemed to be a popular thing. We had the Usos against Ryback and Curtis Axel. We had the Real Americans in action against a ketchup and mustard version of Rey Mysterio and Sin Cara, who I thought, by the way, Sin Cara was taking his name and leaving town. Strange how that guy's still able to wrestle.
Scoops.com line.
Yep. Thanks a lot, Scoop. So, I don't know. You guys got anything you want to herald about tonight's tag matches? JD, why don't you start us off in that one?
Well, the tag matches weren't that bad, like you said. I mean, obviously, you had the Real Americans and Yosemite Sam, Zeb Coulter with his stupid We the People thing, which I'm getting sick of hearing every goddamn week. We don't need to hear snaking across the board. Just shut the hell up, Zeb Coulter. We don't give a shit about you. But no, I mean, there's been talk they've been wanting to split the Real Americans up for a while, and especially when Coulter slapped Swagger and Swagger went ballistic. You thought he was going to attack Coulter, and then Coulter's yelling at him, "Get back in the ring! Get back in the ring! Fight him now, Jack! Do what I tell you!" I think you're going to see the Real Americans start to split up pretty soon. I mean, this might be an early tease with that. We saw kind of that tonight. The other tag match, the Usos versus the team of Ryback and Axel. I'm sorry, Ryback and Axel have not done anything for me. They're a joke of a team. And if you talk about a hot team that's on a roll lately, it is the Usos. And I think you're going to see the Usos in time get some tag gold, possibly. I'm not saying at WrestleMania, but I'm saying sometime maybe after WrestleMania. You could see these guys maybe sometime this spring win the tag gold.
Steven, how about you, man? What'd you think about these random assortment of tag matches we got this evening on Raw?
The first tag match, which one was that? Well, by the way, I enjoyed the tag match for the tag team belts. That was fun. The Sin Cara and Rey Mysterio match, I just didn't give a shit about that, because as soon as Curtis Axel's in the ring, it's like, eh.
Well, that was... Curtis Axel wasn't the one against the Usos. Rey Mysterio and Sin Cara fought the Real Americans, appropriately.
See, that's how zoned out I am a fucking Raw today. Everything was just shit. But, okay, the Usos... So the Usos versus the Real Americans, that was not too bad, if I remember
the
right.
The Usos against Rybaxel.
Wow.
Yeah,
really,
I just explained to you three times.
All I remember is Zeb slapping Jack Swagger, and I was like, that's pretty cool. And then I stopped giving a fuck.
What was Zeb's sign tonight? He had a good sign tonight. Anybody remember? Chat, help us out here. Any of you remember what Zeb's sign tonight was? Somebody get it to us.
I know what it was. I got it. Yeah, he had the sign that says, I think, something like want across the border or something like that, however, and get out of our country. Basically, you're illegal immigrants. He continues to bitch about that every goddamn week on any...
No, it was something about...
his sign was about something like that.
It was something about not speaking English this week.
Honestly, I love
I think
you're
right, yep.
Oh, I think it was like looking for like masked border jumpers or something like that. It was a direct shot at Sin Cara and Rey Mysterio. Tony, how'd you feel about our random assortment of tag matches? Are you still on board for this revival of the tag team division that we're supposedly getting here?
Definitely. I think that we've got a good sign that we're going to have a really good tag match at WrestleMania. New Age Outlaws, awesome. Love the idea that they're the tag champions right now. Cody Rhodes and Goldust, they're doing great. Rybaxel, nah, we can skip that. Real Americans are looking good. And the Usos are looking better than they've ever looked. Mm. So I think we've got a really good assortment of people here. And the matches for tonight, you know, I mean, they were throwaway matches. The whole kind of entirety of tonight's Raw was sort of throwaway. There weren't really anything that fantastic, except for one thing that we'll mention a little bit later. That was a step up. But the Rey Mysterio and Sin Cara pairing, I have been saying for the longest time, keep those two together. Because Sin Cara is not good enough on his own. Rey Mysterio apparently can't do much on his own. And it only helps Sin Cara by having that Rey Mysterio connection. Although, if Rey Mysterio and Sin Cara are going to have to team up, they're going to have to work on Rey Mysterio 619. Because that setup tonight with Cesaro was terrible. Did anybody else notice how much Cesaro had to leap forward in slow motion to get to the ropes?
I saw it, yeah.
That was just terrible, but
brutal.
Usos and everybody else, I mean, tonight's a little bit of a hiccup, but we've got a good group of people, so.
I want to give a shout-out to the chat room, especially to Zixter. He reminded me that the sign said, I want you out, and want was spelled like J-U-A-N, want, want you out. That's what it was that really cracked me up. That was hilarious.
I think he carries multiple signs on that thing and just flips them over.
It's awesome. I love his song.
I think he just sends Jack Swagger to the local Target to grab some arts and craft supplies, and then they create the signs. Drew, how you feel about our budding tag team division that's continuing to grow?
The one thing that Triple H has done since he's, you know, been taking more of a lead, he's increased the tag team roles in the WWE, and they've improved tremendously since Daniel Bryan and Kane were tag team champions. And, you know, we have a good amount of teams. You know, you have your right back, so, you know, this guy's going to put in a tag team match and take a lose. The Usos, a team that can, you know, can compete for a tag team championship down the line. You know, they're not going to be single stars, but, you know, good tag team. James, it's got a good tag team. And then you have Mysterio and Sin Cara, but I had a fucking amazing name that I thought of a minute ago, but I can't remember it now, which is unfortunate. But, you know, why not have the two masks, Mexicans, Boyega Boyega 69 together? And then, what's that like?
Boyega Boyega 69.
You are so white, Drew. You're so white, Drew White.
The real Americans, you know, they're Americans.
Okay.
I respect that.
Okay. Fantastic. Moving on to another segment we had tonight's Monday Night Raw. First off, I want to mention Bad News Barrett finally making his return. I feel like we haven't seen him in a couple weeks. He came down and just basically ripped apart the town of Cleveland, telling them that they're all a bunch of losers. And tonight we're going to get to see two special losers from Cleveland compete. Dolph Ziggler against The Miz in the Battle of Cleveland. You know, they've been doing this a lot lately where they're trying to really make some kind of match themed off of the town they're in after they had that Raw Goes Country match with, I believe it was actually Ziggler and Sandow. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they did something like that somewhere else. I don't remember where that. Oh, it was like the Hamptons match where they had like surfboards and golf clubs, and tennis rackets.
Yeah, they did that. And yeah, they did that. You know, that's, you know.
No, it's more along the lines of, we've got Dolph Ziggler. What the fuck do we do with him this week?
Let's see how he sells a golf club. Yeah, that sounds fun. Yeah, let's do it. Well, this didn't have anything too exciting for, because I don't know what kind of gimmick you would really throw into a Cleveland match. I guess they both came out in jerseys based on the town. That's about all you got out of it. It wasn't a terrible match, actually, aside from the horrible figure four, once again, by The Miz. I'm sure Steven will have plenty to say about that. I know he specifically was upset about that.
That was the fucking worst one I've ever seen him do.
Just a weird continued use of Dolph Ziggler. I have a feeling he's not going to have a very solid spot going forward into WrestleMania, and neither will The Miz, for that matter. So, I mean, let's talk about this match and what you guys think their futures might hold going out the next couple months. Tony, why don't you start us off with that?
The biggest travesty about this is it was not a triple threat match featuring Drew Carey. I mean, come on. He's a WWE Hall of Famer, for Christ's sake. And he's not going to be in the Cleveland match? Come on. This is kind of cool. I like the idea that they're using Ziggler in this kind of capacity, because they clearly don't value Ziggler enough to put him in some kind of like main event spot or something. So rather than have him just wrestle, you know, the Curtis Axels for no reason, get him these little fun matches off on the side. And whether they're facing another babyface like The Miz or another good talent like Damian Sandow, they're kind of cool. And this really wasn't too gimmicked. It was just sort of two Cleveland guys against each other. But it's still better than having him do nothing. And I like both Miz and Ziggler, so I was happy with either of them winning. You know, kind of fun.
Yeah.
Positive.
I'm glad you
reminded
me about Drew Carey with that, because I was thinking about the Drew Carey show's theme where it's like Cleveland rocks.
Cleveland.
Well, the crowd wasn't saying that during this match. They were actually chanting Cleveland sucks about themselves.
Yeah, there was. For a match that had one of the biggest losers in Cleveland, in why it wasn't Drew Carey.
Yeah,
there.
Indeed. Steve, why don't you take over then? Your opinions on this match and these two guys going forward.
When Ric Flair endorses you, learn how to do the fucking figure four correctly. I think Dolph Ziggler was screaming more that he was putting a shitty move than it actually hurts. The match actually, other than that, wasn't too bad, and I enjoyed it. Man, Dolph deserves better, though. Put him in an IC title feud, turn him heel against Big E or something. I'd fucking rather see that at this point. Such a misused talent.
Big E, there's another name that wasn't even on the show tonight.
You know what? I don't even remember who fucking won the match. I think... Was it Dolph? Thank God, because that's exactly what The Miz should be doing, losing. His career, stick a fork in him, he's done. I've got no time for The Miz. Dolph definitely deserves better.
Oh my goodness. JD, how do you feel about the Battle of Cleveland that went down tonight? What do you think the future is in store for these gentlemen?
Well, I'll tell you what, though. I mean, you talk about a comedy match. This was your comedy match of the night by far. But you look at both of these guys. I mean, Miz is obviously dealing with his whole marriage plans to Maurice when he's not making movies and not making Miz TV shows on TV with WWE or just in general being on the radio, wherever else he's needed. I mean, he hasn't done shit in a long time. I mean, that Kofi Kingston thing was a quick in-and-out feud for a few months, and now he's doing something with Ziggler. And you talk about a guy who's just been totally shit on more than anyone in the past year, it has been Ziggler. And Ziggler's got to get back on the ladder. I mean, ever since he spoke his mind, they totally took a steaming pile of shit on him and just wiped it in bar to clean it up. I mean, he's got to get back in the scene. He's got to make sure the fans support him. And I think that if Ziggler does that in the next couple weeks or within the next month or so, maybe he'll have a spot on Mania. But right now, however, they got to realize that they made a big mistake by de-pushing Ziggler, and hopefully he'll get back on the ladder soon. But as far as Miz goes, get rid of him. He's a joke. He's a waste. Send him to TNA. He can be Dixie Carter's new second cousin or bitch boy, if you will. He's just an absolute waste of time in the WWE.
And Mr. Drew White, are you a little bit more positive about the futures for these guys, and what you think about their matchup tonight?
Ooh, yeah. Priceless. Not priceless. I'm trying to think. You know, I honestly really can't remember the match too much, but you guys reminded me of Ziggler 1. I completely forgot about that as well. But so I really can't talk much about the match. But for the futures, you know, ever since Ziggler got that concussion from Del Rio, another reason why Del Rio's not loved by a lot of people, is, you know, it just really shitted on his career, stealing what JD's, steaming pile of shit, is what JD said. But anyways, it's just how he's fallen. It just doesn't make me believe that he's going to be able to go back up. So I think Ziggler has a better chance of being released out of the two of them. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if by the end of the year, Ziggler is gone. Ziggler doesn't have much of an opportunity anymore, mainly because there's too many guys who can be in the main event right now in the WWE. They brought back too many people, and that's what the big issue is going forward, is when you get the Mania, there's so many people who could vouch for to be in the main event, but what the fuck are they going to do? What is Ziggler going to do? What is The Miz going to do? Three WrestleManias ago, The Miz was in the main event. Now he might not even be in Mania because I have no clue what they'd do with him. The Miz is more useful, mainly because he knows how to do other stuff. He's good on the mic. You know, his Miz TV segments suck, but that's just because they don't really give him much to work with. You know, if they were like, hey, Miz, we don't want you to wrestle anymore, mainly because we don't know what to do with you, but you could go do commentary work, go to NXT and help out down there. I think Miz can vouch for a role in other places. He is a good TV personality, and I think he can, you know, especially his when he does commentary, I really enjoy it. But, you know, I don't really see these two features being too bright, unfortunately. I want to be positive about it, but I don't know what they could do with them, really. There's just too many people now in the WWE, and, you know, unfortunately some people have to take the fall, and I think these two might be those guys.
All right, guys, let's...
Miz was done in NXT last week, I heard. No, Miz was on NXT last week, I heard. If you get a chance, someone told me he was on NXT challenging someone, and some guy got up in his business, and I think Miz slapped him, or the guy slapped Miz. So I think we might see Miz maybe down in NXT, possibly. Depending on if they don't have any spot for him at WrestleMania or whatever. Like you said, how I could see him down there for a while, maybe feeding some guys down there, possibly.
They've been sending a lot of WWE stars down there lately. Kofi Kingston is also another person you see making a number of appearances down there. Natalya is down there quite often. Even Sin Cara and Antonio Cesaro, another guy who's down there, it seems like almost every month.
Well, you talk about one NXT person who keeps showing up on the TV every week. I don't think she's on SmackDown or main event, maybe. Is that one person, Emma?
Oh,
you know,
goodness
she
gracious.
She showed up again tonight with her son, Emma.
Please.
I mean, they showed her on TV again tonight.
Please, enough of that woman. I cannot stand that dance that she does, and especially when she's doing it while holding up a sign. I just don't understand. It looks terrible.
Broken. Are you not entertained?
Sports entertained?
I'm not entertained.
No, I'm not Emma Dallas. She is actually a very good wrestler, and I'm excited to see her actually become part of the Divas division. But that's got to go. I don't know how it's caught on down in that small crowd in NXT, but that is not going to work in Madison Square Garden, I guarantee you.
Maybe it's because it's such a smoky crowd, but it's that bad, but it's good.
It's kind of like Fandangoing.
Yeah.
Gosh. I hope not. But guys, while we play cleanup for the rest of the events that went on Raw tonight, things we didn't go too in-depth about, the rematch for the tag team titles between Cody Rhodes, Goldust against the New Age Outlaws being interrupted by Brock Lesnar. We talked about that a little bit. We had a 4-on-4 Divas match featuring the Bella Twins and the Funkadactyls against AJ Lee, Tamina Snuka, Alicia Fox, and Oksana. Oksana, we already mentioned, looking absolutely fantastic tonight, so absolutely noteworthy about her new outfit. Naomi getting a pin over the Divas champion, AJ Lee. And we also had a match tonight between R-Truth and Fandango, where R-Truth picked up the victory. We had Xavier Woods on commentary during that, and we still see no development for Xavier Woods, and R-Truth continues to be the person getting random, non-important pinfall victories. So I'll pass around to you guys. We can talk about all the other events that we haven't talked about yet on tonight's Raw. Drew, why don't you start us off?
I thought you said Snooki when you said to me in a Snooka.
I might have.
Fun fact. Now, I was just like, what did I miss? I did not see any of the Divas matches. The tag match, you know, for the championship, it was good. You know, the only reason why I really care about it is because Lesnar interrupted. But, you know, when it comes to that Xavier Woods thing, I don't know what they could do with him. Honestly, he's kind of like, he doesn't really bring much to the table. He has a big afro, and he's partnering with R-Truth, for Christ's sake. So I don't know what you could do with him. He's kind of in that boat where there's nothing they can really do for him, which is unfortunate, but, you know, some people have to do that. And you said R-Truth beat Fandango?
R-Truth did indeed beat Fandango.
Okay, that's fucking stupid. You know, Fandango, as much as I think he needs a character change, because it's not going to get Johnny Curtis over, my bad.
Did you hear that crowd Fandangoing, you know, last night? And even tonight, they continued a bit of Fandangoing.
Yeah. Well, the issue, because those are just two crowds, and I feel like the only reason why they did it tonight was because the crowd didn't
Why is the chat
tonight
saying Fat Dango? Everybody's saying it, not just one person.
They're saying that
there's
the
Fat Dango revolution going on in our chat.
Gosh, you know, as much as I like him, I just don't think that if he's jobbing the R-Truth, then, you know, it's time to maybe, you know, either change up his gimmick a little bit or just scrap the whole thing.
I completely disagree. Fandango is awesome, and I think the fact that he still has his supporters, it's a lot like Daniel Bryan. You can't hold a good man down.
The thing is, if you push anyone, they'll get back over again. If he's being made to look bad, so you think he's bad. If he got made to look good, you think he'd be good again. It's just a matter of how they're making you perceive the guy.
Yeah, unless you're Daniel Bryan, then, you know, if WWE's just like, fuck you.
All right, Steven, why don't you follow up, man, about your random thoughts about all the things we missed on Raw so far.
As far as Fandango versus R-Truth, I really wish R-Truth would just turn heel and fucking team up with The Miz. Two guys that WWE's not really doing anything with. And send Xavier Woods back to fucking NXT. Does not do anything for me. Fandango, I would like to see a push, but apparently he needs to lose some weight, according to the chat. The Divas match was actually one of the highlights of the show. It was better than the Del Rio match, and that's normally something I can't say. Great showing by all the girls. If they continue to do this, then I'll actually not make them my piss break.
Tony, what's your random thoughts about the stuff on Raw we missed?
All right, Xavier Woods looks weird now that he's shaved.
Yes.
That's one thing that's noteworthy about that. The R-Truth and Fandango match, you know, another kind of a waste of a spot. It didn't really do anything. R-Truth should not be getting the win on these kind of things. It should be either Xavier getting solo pins or the two wrestling tag matches. And as far as, like, what to do with Xavier Woods and all that, you need to keep him with R-Truth, and you need to just, well, not you, but WWE needs to be patient about it. Just keep the two in a tag team for now. Keep the tag team division going, and it'll all sort itself out.
But Tony, they never actually wrestle in a tag match.
That's what they need to be doing. They need to be in tag matches together, and they need to get some kind of a tag team name. I mean, they can't do Truth and Consequences anymore, but that's a way to kind of keep Xavier around until they can figure out what his footing is. Divas, good job tonight. I mean, it's really odd that the We Want Divas chant last night, which was totally ironic, turned out to be tonight, a step up. They all looked pretty good compared to a lot of what we've seen in the past from Oksana and so on and so forth. Really, like, this was just an episode where a lot of the stuff was filler, a lot of the stuff didn't really matter, and the stuff that did, it was good, it was bad, it was what it was. There's nothing really important to talk about that we didn't already talk about.
And JD, why don't you wrap us up with this, man? Your random thoughts of the stuff we didn't get to talk about yet on Raw.
Well, like you said, R-Truth and Xavier Woods, they are not one of the greatest tag teams, I don't think, right now. And management, I mean, you're right, you got to be patient with them, I think, in time. But I just don't think it's working for them, if you ask me. Yeah, the Divas affair wasn't that bad tonight, I agree, however. The only thing, however, that I was, it was a little surprising, they kind of stalled it out for a good while before they finally announced it, was the Hall of Fame next member. And that's obviously Jake the Snake Roberts, which is interesting. I mean, they finally got to that. However, now the question is, however, from here, who's going to be the next person that goes in the Hall of Fame? But all like I said, it was a thumbs in the middle, heading towards thumbs slightly up tonight. I think they did a little bit better tonight with the Raw show. But like I said, there are some things they got to look at. However, but like I said, they got 3 weeks of the Chamber, and then they got at least 5 or 6 weeks to build up for WrestleMania. So you better hope that the Chamber is going to be a better buy rate, because your buy rates have been tremendously down since SummerSlam. And you better start picking it up as you head into the network, and especially to WrestleMania.
All right, so we actually got another caller on the line. Let's bring him on here and see what their thoughts are about this whole Monday Night Raw tonight. Caller from 856, you're live on the Mega Powers Radio Raw Post Show. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Dane from New Jersey. I'm friends with Mango and Dane.
Dane Quinn, correct? Oh,
yeah,
Dane,
yeah.
Good to have you on the show, bro. What was your thoughts about last night's Royal Rumble and tonight's Raw, man? What's on your mind?
I was just wondering, thinking about Fandango, and then you were talking about Ziggler. It seems like they both had concussions, and it kind of derailed both their careers, like, that were looking skyward, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just, I don't know, it seems like people underrate the concussion aspect, like, where you can't stay healthy, because I said before, I was a big Christian fan, and he seems to get hurt a lot, and now he's older, and he's coming back, but, you know, he won't be.
He'll never be a main eventer again. And concussions have been a really big hurdle to a lot of people's career, especially this year. And when we saw it completely halt Fandango, who was on a meteoric rise coming off of his WrestleMania debut, you had to imagine that he was absolutely in line for that Intercontinental title, which ended up going to Curtis Axel, unfortunately, which didn't do anybody any favors. Dolph Ziggler has been cut off twice now with a concussion. Even Daniel Bryan had a scare with a concussion recently. It's great they're taking them serious, but it's unfortunate that if you leave, even just for a little while, you can't just pick up where you left off. Someone else is going to come and take your spot. And more often than not lately, it's not younger guys we're seeing doing that. It's guys like Batista coming in and taking those spots.
Exactly.
Well, Dane, what did you think about last night's Royal Rumble pay-per-view overall, though? I mean, was there some stuff you at least enjoyed from it?
I don't think it was like that bad of a pay-per-view. Actually, I usually watch it with Mango and Dane, mm-hmm. but I was feeling sick, so I worry here. And I actually had to mute it during the WWE title match just to, like, you know, actually watch it. Because, I mean, the fans were getting kind of ridiculous in my opinion.
They were a little harsh.
I mean, everybody loves Daniel Bryan, but it's not like, you know, Cena and Orton, like, didn't make sense. It's not like, you know, Cena deserved a rematch, like, on paper, you know?
Absolutely. I said, like, that at one point we were talking in our private chat. They were being over necessarily harsh on that match. You know, if you want to give one boo chant or one Daniel Bryan chant, that's fine. But I think they did the boring chant like 4 or 5 times, not to mention the announcers chanting, the We Want Divas. I'm sure they were chanting at a popcorn and seller at some point, yeah. Too.
See, they were saying We Want Divas. I thought they were saying We Want Peanuts. That's what I thought they were saying.
Maybe they did.
Maybe. I mean, that's what I thought they said when I heard it at first.
And, we want peanuts?
Let's say, like, we want peanuts. I thought that's what they were saying.
Maybe they were hungry. Who knows?
Like,
yeah, like a snack or something. But when it comes to the Royal Rumble, with Daniel Bryan, like, I mean, he lost to Bray Wyatt, and people aren't complaining that Bray Wyatt wasn't in the Royal Rumble.
This is very true.
And, like, people are complaining Batista won. Like, okay, I understand that it's not really cool to reward a guy that's been out for 4 years, but a lot of people were rooting for Jericho to beat Sheamus, and Jericho just showed up a week or two before that, you know? It's like, can't be a hypocrite about it.
Yeah, you're right. People are very selective. I mean, on the very same night, people are upset about Batista winning the Rumble. They're also cheering on the New Age Outlaws winning the tag team titles. So, I mean, it's tough, but, you know, the New Age Outlaws weren't overshadowing someone that people really wanted to see advance. People wanted Daniel Bryan, and for Batista to be the person that took it instead of him, you know, if people were like this much in support of the Usos, where they were chanting, Usos, as much as they're chanting yes, then it would probably be a bigger deal about the New Age Outlaws coming in and doing this.
Yeah, I never thought of that.
Indeed. So, Dane, for Monday Night Raw tonight, what was your high point and your low point for the show?
I'm a believer in Lesnar, so every time he shows up, it makes me interested, especially when he interrupted Batista and Orton with Heyman, obviously. I didn't see that coming, but I don't think they should put Lesnar in the Elimination Chamber, because then he would have to lose, and I think that would make him look weak going into WrestleMania. So I don't even think he should be on the card.
What if he doesn't lose
until WrestleMania? Him being the champion going into WrestleMania?
Yeah, against Batista. I mean, that was the first thing they teased when Batista was coming in.
Yeah, maybe I'm just biased. I hope not. I don't want to see a UFC fighter versus an MMA fighter for the WWE title.
Well, I think Tony made an excellent suggestion earlier. Maybe we just don't have to have the title match as the headlining match, though I always believe that it should be, no matter what. And if you're going to take a match that route, though, it kind of digs you into a spot where you have to drop it down.
Yeah, I'd like to see the title on the line, or whoever faces the Undertaker. That's about it. When it comes to the main event, not like a main event.
All right, Dane. Go ahead, Steven.
I used to be like that, saying, the title's got to be in the main event. But the perfect example of a time that shouldn't have happened was WrestleMania 18. If there's a bigger match on before, it's just going to suck the crowd dry for the main event. So it depends what's going to be on before it.
Indeed. So, Dane, thanks a lot for calling in, man. It was good to hear from you. I always see you responding to tweets and all things like that. It was good to finally hear a voice connected to it.
Yeah, I love the show, man.
Oh, man, you're always welcome to call at any other time, man. Have a good night, dude.
You too.
All right, the calls just keep on pouring in. We got another caller on the wait here, so let's bring him in. Got a caller from the 337 area code. Caller, you are live on the Mega Powers Radio Raw Post Show. What's your name and where you're calling from?
Hey, how's it going, guys? I'm Joe Stallman, Louisiana.
Oh,
couple hours away from New Orleans.
Oh, so Joe, I see you in the chat room. Appreciate you calling in, man. Are you going to WrestleMania, since you mentioned that?
Yeah, my wife was watching me today, and she's like, hey, you know, we can go to that, right? And I was like, I love you.
and the more important question is, are you going to the Raw the night after WrestleMania?
Where's that going to be at?
I imagine it would be somewhere close by, somewhere in the same town.
I doubt it. I mean, she wants to sit 2 nights, so I mean, we're planning it out, man. If I do, I'll definitely give a shout out or make a sign for Solo Monster in this show. This is the first time I heard of this show, man. I'm stoked. This is awesome.
Oh, we appreciate it, man. We're all very big fans of Solo Monster here as well. We've had many people here who've been influenced from his work. Matter of fact, I remember he used to do a very similar Raw post show So I have to say, he sort of paved the way for this show to come into an existence. But so let me ask you, man, what's on your mind about last night's pay-per-view and tonight's Raw?
For one, Fat Dango, that goes for the group. Hashtag awesome. You're awesome. so last night I was going to bring up, I saw a bunch of, I didn't get to see the show until this morning about 6 in the morning because I had to work last night, so I had to hide from Facebook and all that to miss, so I wouldn't miss or, you know, catch anything. So I watched it, and everybody was complaining about, you know, JBL spot went to Daniel Bryan or whatever, and there were rumors about that or whatever. And I saw, from what I saw, when JBL, the camera switched to the screen or to the entrance, when they flipped it back, you can see Kane standing next to the ring, like slowly walking and like starting to get under the ring. And then they showed JBL because the camera flipped back too fast. And I'm thinking, who the hell is that dude with no shirt on? And I'm thinking, wait a second, Kane had no shirt on. Completely ruined the Punk pullout for me. Because when they went back, and I think they missed that camera angle too, of Kane coming from underneath the ring and pulling out CM Punk. Because if you watch, they were showing, I think, Seth Rollins, and then they just flipped it to CM Punk and Kane's on top of him, and you're like, holy shit, where'd he come from? They missed him coming out from underneath the ring.
Mm. And can I just say, Kane looked fucking amazing. Not saying like I'm coming on to him or anything like that, but holy shit, he was ripped. And this new look for him, I think it's going to work.
Oh, he don't lie,
you
want to
get his pants.
His six pack was like bigger than my arm. Like my muscle arm was like one of his pack. It was ridiculous. He's massive.
Yeah, indeed. So, Joe, let me ask you about Raw tonight. What were some of your favorite parts that went down?
As soon as the Wyatt brothers came out.
You're big Wyatt fans.
You gotta admit, the Wyatt brothers, they got something.
So let me ask you this. Going into WrestleMania, what are some of your predicted matches that you see happening?
Basically the same as everybody else. I mean, hopefully it's Batista. I think Batista, Brock. I mean, neither of them can. Batista, obviously, I mean, you see what he did. He really didn't do much. He's not delivering, you know, huge Batista bombs like he used to.
Oh, that spear looks terrible.
But I see him doing Brock Lesnar. Oh, it was bad. It was horrible. And then, I mean, last night, I mean, everything he did in the ring, obviously getting booed didn't help, but he didn't do anything impressive. That and his outfit. Somebody made a comment about AJ Lee's, he's wearing AJ Lee's outfit, and I thought that was hilarious. It was perfect.
At least he wasn't wearing those skinny jeans again.
Yeah, right. Oh. Where he like rips them in
those,
half.
Those were horrendous. Ah, man. So, Joe, let me ask you specifically once again about this night's Raw. What was your highest point and what was your lowest point of what you saw tonight?
Probably the highest point. I mean, we all knew the Wyatt brothers were coming out. The lowest point, I don't think Alberto, Del Rio and Kofi Kingston's match should have gone that long. That was just a waste of time. I mean, everybody likes Kofi Kingston, but it's just because, I mean, they don't do anything with him. But I can't stand Alberto Del Rio. It's just, I don't know. He doesn't do anything that impresses anybody. And that takes up a whole, you know, 30-minute block of him wrestling. And it's just, it tears down the show. It's just, the pace of it's horrible. I mean, we got to see who we wanted. We got to see Daniel Bryan. We got to see Dolph Ziggler, the Wyatts. The worst part about the show, definitely the fact that Lesnar didn't get to face anybody, which was just dumb. It was just a letdown. Why build stuff up like that when you don't do anything with it? And then what's it going to hurt if he did go out there and do anything? You know, if anything, it's just going to make people want to watch more.
This is true. Though, Joe, I got to say, you sound much more optimistic than a lot of people over the events of the last couple of days. That's refreshing to hear. I'm happy to hear the people who could still just keep on watching and enjoying what they're watching.
Well, I just recently got back into it, like over the past year and a half. And I mean, I'm still, you know, looking at, you guys have been sitting here watching it for the past, you know, since it was big back in the day. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, obviously you guys are worn out and just tired of it. You know what I mean? But the worst thing they could do with the Daniel Bryan thing is if they don't give it to him at WrestleMania, it's done. I mean, there's nothing they can do with the guy after that. They're just, it's a wasted storyline. So he'll get his, and I honestly don't even think Daniel Bryan's that entertaining to watch. That whole shaking his head thing up and down is not entertaining. I mean, the fact that he goes balls to the wall when he's in there is great. But, I mean, He's not as entertaining as Ziggler.
You know what's funny? It's a very common opinion I'm hearing from people who say they haven't watched in a while and they're starting to watch again now. They're saying, I really don't see what the big deal is about Daniel Bryan. Yet people who have been watching consistently think Daniel Bryan is, without a doubt, the best thing going on right now. It's weird how there's those conflicting
opinions. Well, I saw him. I mean, I've been watching since he came back. I mean, or when he first got there with Nexus. I mean, I watched that whole thing. I started watching then. So I watched him come up, and, you know, I get the whole, like, you know, the smart people who read the dirt sheets and, you know, go into all that stuff. Yeah, they like him because, you know, they're supposed to like him. They're supposed to hate the fact that he's not getting pushed. You know what I mean? So for us not liking him, I mean, it's exactly what they want. So you're getting played, you know. I mean, that's the point, though. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Joe is an excellent call, man. Definitely call in again another week, man. We really appreciate you joining us. I got other callers on the line, so I want to make sure to give them some time, too.
Oh, cool. Thanks.
But we really appreciate you calling in, man. Have a good night. Thanks. But as I said, you're welcome again any other time.
Appreciate it, guys. Fat Dingo. Wet Tootsie Bob.
All right.
Wet Tootsie Bob. Got it.
Hey, dude, thanks for calling in. We lost JD there, but I think he's calling back in, so let me just get him back in line here. JD, that's you, right?
I'm back. Yep.
All I'm right, back. So JD, not to cut you off once again, we got another caller on, so let's get them in.
Yay.
We got a caller from the 856. Caller, you are live with the Mega Powers Radio Raw Post Show. What's your name and where are you calling from? Caller from 856. Hello, 856. 856 is gone. Sorry, 856, call back if you want to. Also, we got breaking news inside the chat room. I have just found out that we have a birthday to celebrate. Our very own Steven Huego is celebrating a birthday. So everyone, please wish Steven Huego a happy birthday. And for him, I'm going to play his birthday song.
Someone needs to get me a mallet.
You know what's sad? I know that whole thing. Steven, you're now a man.
I was going to say, Creep was on the radar, said the chat room, Mazel Tov, so that's appropriate. Awesome piano man, Wagopedia. Clap, 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 clap.
Wagopedia's got the clap that I got.
Oh, goodness. Oh, I am afraid. Let's bring him on. We got a caller from a restricted area code. Caller from Restricted, you're live on the Mega Powers Radio Raw Post Show. What's up?
Hi there. We just wanted to know more, a little bit more about wrestling, because we really think it's just men in tights.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. Thanks for calling in.
Well, it is men in tights. They're doing homoerotic rolling around. That's why we all watch
men
it, right?
In tights. This isn't Robin Hood.
Didn't we already establish that Peyton had the hots for Kane?
No, I have the hots for Roman Reigns, okay? Wait, that came out wrong.
I thought but there's also women in tights. We can't forget that.
Oh, this is very true.
God, don't make it gay.
No. My bad. You know, I don't want to be the loose banana peel here. I'm sorry, I have spoke my mind. I'll just mute my mic again.
So how about that Biggie Langston?
Oh, that big CD license.
All right, guys. I think we're gonna start trailing things out here towards the end. JD, why don't you start us off with the ending segment we have here, the high point, low point of Raw.
Well, the high point tonight, definitely, like you guys, we've all said tonight, and the callers said it, I think we're all agreed on the panel, was definitely the main event. It's definitely going to be interesting to see where they go from here this week. Obviously, the SmackDown tomorrow night in Toledo, and then in the next 3 weeks, how they're going to continue to build up, obviously, after the Super Bowl on Sunday, starting next week in Omaha for the Elimination Chamber. So I think definitely the high point was definitely the main event, without question. The low point tonight, however, I would definitely say it was probably, maybe more than likely, I mean, I hate to say this, but it was probably the Fandango matchup in more ways than one. The R-Truth thing just didn't do it for me, and I'd say right behind that, maybe the other low point of the night, however, was probably maybe, It's hard to say. You know, that I'm going to say that's the low point of the night for me, if you ask me. But the main event was good, and it's going to be interesting to see where they go. Obviously, on SmackDown, if they're going to have a six-person tag, like I said, I've been saying all night. I mean, it could be the Shield versus the Wyatts this week. We could see it happen this week.
Well, I hope they don't blow that on SmackDown. I'd like to think that they would wait until something bigger for that. But maybe they'll have like some sort of one-on-one or maybe like a two-on-two. We'll see how that goes going forward.
Yeah.
Tony, why don't you tell us your high point, low point?
Low point, WWE trying to move forward with their plans and act like they can take credit for all this kind of stuff that's happening. That opening segment was sort of like them going, yeah, we planned all that reaction. Ah, we got a plan for you guys. And it's, you can tell, you can see right through it that they were just trying to salvage what they had left. High point, if I wouldn't give it to the Divas match just out of spite, because we usually give it, don't give them the thing, but kudos to them, it would have to be Seth Rollins.
Oh, we didn't even talk about that.
The highlight of the whole night.
That was
fucking hilarious. And he looked so pissed afterward too, because he realized he was like right where the camera could still get it. It's just like, god damn it, why did I have to do that? Definitely a high point.
All right, Drew White, your high point, low point for tonight's Raw.
Low point. You know, I might say because Big E, I'm gonna go with Big E Langston not being on the card. You know, I'm a fan of Big E, man. You know, I'm sorry. I really wish that he was on the card tonight, but.
Drew, what are you on?
Oh God, it's smashing.
Yeah, really? My goodness.
Are we gonna get the Batista out for tonight?
Point. Shut up. Okay, my high point
who's
is
tickling you.
My
he might have just seen one of the bells naked. That's why he's got the giggles.
Wow. Ooh, that high point's priceless.
My high point would be the announcement that Christian will be on SmackDown on Friday. I'm looking forward to that now. Okay. I got my inner chief. Okay, good. So my high point will be the return of Christian this Friday on SmackDown. I might actually...
I'm just going to let this go.
I might actually watch SmackDown. Because of it, so yep, I'm done. Bye.
Okay, Steven, your high point, low point.
Well, my high point is probably Seth Rollins falling over. My low point's fucking Drew White. Jesus Christ.
Oh, my goodness.
No, but seriously, my low point's Del Rio. Fuck Del Rio.
We got a lot of similar ones going on in the chat room. Awesome Piano Man saying his high point was Seth Rollins falling as well. Low point, just plain old Alberto Del Rio. Creepa's on high said his low point was Batista. His high point was also The Botch in really big letters. I believe Zixter gave this to us. Well, I believe Zixter said his high point was Roman Reigns breaking out of the STFU, which was fucking badass as hell. Zixter, I'm sorry, I lost your low point. This chat room moves fast and it's hard to navigate up it once people start talking. So your low point's gonna be lost. My high point, low point for the night though. High point is definitely gonna be that 6-man tag. It was awesome. However, the low point is going to be the ending of the 6-man tag. I think that was a jip. I think the Shield didn't have to win it, but I think you should have made a more decisive winner to it if you were gonna put stakes as big as they were on the line. This is my opinion, though. You know, not everyone feels the same. And there's the high point, low point. I'm going to go around here one final time. JD, I want to give you a little bit of time here just to plug if you have a Twitter or anything you want people to follow, or if there's anybody you want to give a shout out or anything like that, too. Here's some time for you.
Well, not really. I just want to thank you guys for having me on the panel tonight, and I'm looking forward to doing this again, as always, every Monday. And if I can't, when I can, especially during football season, sometimes I'll try to get on if I can, but more often than not, I'll try to, if there's no Steeler home game, I'll definitely get on. But no, I think, like you said, Howard, I think the big question is, where do they go from here? I mean, the WWE's got to realize that in the next two pay-per-views, they got to start getting the ratings up, however, and hopefully tonight, maybe they started the road to WrestleMania on a good note. We'll have to wait and see when the ratings come in tomorrow, but all in all, that's about it, and I look forward to talking to you guys again next month.
All right, JD, thanks for calling in. It was great getting your insight from you know, live perspective of how things went down last night, and we'll talk to you next week, most likely. Have a good night, dude.
Oh, definitely. You too, guys. Have a good one.
All right, bye, JD. Hey, Peyton, before we continue,
what's up, dude?
Can we do something really quickly? Something we haven't done in a long time. It's called
fantasy league.
about that.
One does not do fantasy league.
Oh, what's that? I hear something going on in the background. Welcome everyone. Now we're to Monday Nitro. What is this? Oh, so what you guys think about that? Yeah, that was cool. I just JBL'd that, if you didn't notice. Not very smoothly. Yeah, I still got to get those points updated. I am way behind.
I know.
My bad, folks. Things have been weird around here. Some people have picked up on some of that, but I promise I will get that all straightened out very soon. Matter of fact, if I don't have it straightened out by next week's Raw post show, I will eat my underwear. How's that?
No, I want you to eat your pubic hair.
No, I'm not going that far. I'll eat my underwear, not my pubic hair.
Peyton.
Fine, I'm not going any further than that, actually. just in case for some reason I don't.
Please, can I just make one transaction before we continue?
Transaction?
Yeah.
Why? What do you want to do?
I want to do something. I just want to make sure no one else wants to do anything before me.
You're in first place. I can't guarantee that. I don't even know what the standings are. It's just going to have to wait one more week, Drew. I'm sorry.
But Peyton, I got to keep...
Yeah, well, you probably want Batista, and you're probably not going to get Batista. If anybody gets Batista, it's probably going to be Tony, because he won the Royal Rumble contest.
But Peyton... I want to be cool.
You're going to have to wait another week to be cool, Drew. I'm sorry.
Ah, fuck. Never mind. I don't want to do this anymore. Nope. Okay, nope. Fantasy League.
Aiden will give you Batista for your sister.
That's just a sign that you wanted either Carlito or Deuce and Domino.
Deuce or Domino.
I wanted El Torito on my team. He's an eligible member now because he participated in the Rumble last night.
Is that seriously who you want to put on your team?
No, I wanted fucking Batista.
Let's make it official.
Never fucking mind.
Gracious. All right, Drew, why don't you start us off with the plugs then?
Whoa, the plugs. I look forward to the next time we do Smack Talk because co-host Drew White will return and forever and always. Besides that, you can always follow me on the Twitters, the Instagrams. You can bother me on Facebook, and you can love me on the YouTubes. That is all. All
right, Mr. Steven Holwego, take over.
Yo, Peyton, what's my Twitter handle? I actually got it this time, don't worry. Addicted to Anime is going to be airing at Megapowers Radio on February 23rd, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can look us up on facebook.com/addictedanimefans, and our Twitter handle is addicts2anime, addicts2anime. Also check out Unanimous Decision MMA over on Facebook. That's facebook.com/udmma, twitter.com/udmma, and udmma.com for the UDMMA podcast returning soon. And like the kittens, otherwise you're a douchebag.
And Tony Mango.
All right, guys, as we've mentioned before, smarkoutmoment.com is my website for all the wrestling stuff. The podcast is Smack Talk. We'll be going more in depth on the Royal Rumble review, breaking down each and every match on the next episode. You can find that on iTunes, Stitcher, and youtube.com/smarkoutmoment, and you could also check out anything else that I had to say about wrestling on Bleacher Report.
Oh my goodness, so much hilarity happening on tonight's show, guys. We certainly appreciate it. We couldn't have done it without y'all. Yeah, we all went into this feeling a little bit down based on last night's events, but I gotta say, I'm feeling picked back up again, and it's always fun to do things here every week following Monday Night Raw on Mega Powers Radio. We certainly hope everyone who joined us tonight will continue joining us going forward. So you do that every week by tuning in at megapowersradio.com or blogtalkradio.com/megapowersradio. Every single time that Raw goes off the air, we will be here talking about our thoughts and inviting you to join the conversation through the phone lines and through the chat room. However, if for any reason you can't join us live, you can also find the archive version of the show on smarkoutmoment.com, youtube.com/megapowersradio, and simply by searching for the NPR Raw Po Show on iTunes or Stitcher. Please also keep in touch with us all throughout the week by joining many different places. You can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/RawPoShow, on Twitter at Raw Po Show, or join our official Facebook fan group at facebook.com/groups/TheMegaManiacs. That's facebook.com/groups/TheMegaManiacs. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, especially the chat room. You're all badass tonight. Awesome Piano Man, Zixter, Joseph Stallman, Creepers on the Radars. Oh, there's lots of other people there I missed as well. People have been signing out earlier. All the wonderful callers we had tonight. JD making a special extended appearance tonight. Mr. Brian Biner, Joseph Stallman, Dade Quinn. I apologize if I forget everyone. We had a lot of callers this evening. Those weird kids from the restricted number who want to know more about wrestling. Check out WWE Encyclopedia. Or check out Wagopedia. I hear that's an even better spot. Especially thank you to all my co-hosts here. Thank you to Drew White. Thank you to Steven Huego. And thank you to Tony Mango. I'm Mike Payton. We'll see y'all next time here on the Mega Powers Radio Raw Host Show.